Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Katrina Hintner.
Good morning, everyone.
And we say a good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods, mm-hmm. just about opening their doors right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Good morning, you guys. Thanks for letting us borrow Katrina. We appreciate it. We'll get her back in, you know, tip-top shape. The model may not be as same as you when you lent it to us, but should be relatively close. Should be pretty close.
Why not?
I wanted to kick off this hour with the entertainment news, but I actually have to call it audible, and it was something I was going to say to you when you first got into the studio today, but I completely got distracted. We got talking, I got distracted on something else. That's an awesome shirt. Katrina's wearing a Wisconsin Rapids All-Star shirt. It's a bit of a throwback. It's got the stripes on the side like I like. Oh, it's a number 3-2 on the back. Where is that from?
It's from a long time ago. Baseball. It was from baseball? Over by Mead School, the baseball diamond over there.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. Wow, I love that shirt. That's an awesome shirt. I love it. So diving into some entertainment news, and you know, we cover everything Dolly Parton, of course, on this station.
Of course you do. And it's a Dolly station.
It pretty much is, yeah. We're going to change our call letters to Dolly.
Exactly. I'm sorry Seth isn't here, so you guys can both Dolly on.
Yes. But there's another name that kind of gets mentioned quite a bit on our station here, and it's Willie Nelson. So if it isn't Dolly, it's Willie that shows
friends,
up.
And they're friends, so I mean, you
it
know.
It works out. Willie Nelson once said he'd rather die than retire, and he ain't kidding about that. He has got a bunch of stuff going on right now, including a very funny Bic lighter commercial that he does with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart.
Oh yeah, I think
it's hilarious. Yeah, it's hilarious. We have never given Willie Nelson enough credit for his acting.
Mm-mm.
Man has got great comedic timing. He has always been very good at delivering a line. It shows Willie using a Bic to light up a candle. Then he goes, gets a video call from Snoop, who lost his Bic, followed by Martha, who pops up looking for a candle. Willie plays innocent as he lights his favorite herb scent candle. there's also music news from Willie. He is going to release a new album on March 3rd. It's a tribute to legendary Nashville songwriter Harlan Howard, and it's called I Don't Know a Thing About Love. Harlan has written hits for Ray Charles, Patsy Cline, Conway Twitty. He's also the guy who described country music as three chords and the truth. God, is that one of the greatest lines I've ever heard.
That is.
Three chords and the truth. That is good, sir. Mr. Harlan, that is good. The album's first single is Willie's take on Busted. And Willie will be turning 90 on April 29th, as a side note.
90?
90.
I just still picture him in his 70s.
Well, it doesn't hurt that he still looks like he's in his 70s.
It's true.
Like, the man, he's got his hair. He doesn't have any more wrinkles than when I was a kid, basically. Yeah. Like, at least it looks like. I'm sure he has aged, but it doesn't seem like it.
Wow.
I genuinely think there's a lot of things, you know, you will hear people over 100 tell you, do this for a long life. Do this for a long life. I don't think there's any necessarily rhyme or reason or consistency, but if there is one thing that I've noticed, going way back to being a little kid in the morning show that would have Wilford on or Wilbur on, or and he'd have the Smuckers thing, and he had 100 years. Somebody turning 100 years old today, and he'd wish her a happy birthday.
Yes.
Dang it, I'm so sorry, I can't think of his name. Wilford or Wilbur or something. Great guy, very good at what he did. Mm-hmm. But if there's any consistency from those days to now, it is people that live with a little bit of youth in them. Got a little bit of young in them. Got a little bit of that. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're out doing stuff all the time, or they're, you know, doing exports or anything like that. They're always looking to grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
They're always looking to evolve a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Nelson's style of music maybe hasn't grown much over the years, but he's worked with so many different artists. I just mentioned Snoop Dogg. He has worked with Snoop Dogg. And everything.
Martha Stewart. Variety.
He keeps living. He keeps doing new things. He keeps trying different stuff. I think that keeps the brain healthy.
Absolutely.
And I don't, again, I'm not obviously a doctor or scientist or anything like that, but I do see a pattern here. I do see a consistency with people who are always looking to grow, to learn, and who seem to be forever young. Mm-hmm. My Nana was very like that. Mm-hmm. She had 100 jobs. She was a nurse. She was this. She was that. And then when they got to retirement age, and I say that in quotations,
yep.
when they moved up here, they took me and my sister in. And we're, you know, became, you know, co-parenting again mm-hmm. and stuff. And along with that, my Nana also, she comes up here and she starts working at a hotel.
Yeah, why not? You know,
just helping clean rooms. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Just for something to do. Mm-hmm. Like, now I think that's in part that generation. But I do think that that's something we can learn from that generation.
Absolutely. Good work ethic. And I see that you happen to pick up on that because you can't, are a nonstop worker yourself. Yes.
So that's a good insightful point by you that I did not even realize. I walked into that one.
Yep.
I don't know how people are going to feel about this. Channing Tatum, pretty popular, well-known actor,
yep.
is planning to remake Patrick Swayze's 1990 hit Ghost.
Ooh.
His production company, Free Association, owned the rights. In a profile on Vanity Fair, he said he'll play Patrick's role, quote, but we're going to do something different. I think it needs to change a little bit. Channing also did a Vanity Fair lie detector test where he was asked if he thinks he's a better stripper than Joe Manganiello, who was in Magic Mike with him and everything. His response, 100%, were different classes of strippers, but when you look at the dictionary next to the perfect specimen of a man, probably Joe is the one body that pops up. He's kind of weirdly flawless. he also said he was looking forward to the next one. I think they're doing another one of these mm-hmm. and some other projects that he's got working on. But I think the headline here is the remake of Ghost.
Yeah.
That's...
I don't know. It's going to, I mean, I think he could do it, but it's just such a classic.
It is. And I mean, it's one of those ones, it's like a modern classic, mm-hmm. you know, even though it came out like 30 years ago yes. or whatever, it is considered a modern classic. And with those, you have a little bit of a more of a wiggle room,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, this one is different because, you know, one of the main actors, the main actor has passed.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people, even though she hasn't gone, Demi Moore hasn't done a movie in ages.
Right.
So there's that part of it. Mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg doesn't act that often anymore.
No, right.
So you got three iconic actors, three iconic roles.
Mm-hmm.
That's asking a lot for audiences. You got to have, Channing's a pretty good name. Mm-hmm. I guess he could be considered a household name, but I don't know if I wouldn't put him on the Patrick Swayze level.
Mm-mm.
I think that's a whole other level.
Yep.
So
he will be.
True. And maybe he brings in two other actors that are on that level.
Yes, right.
Because that's the other thing. The casting on this has got to be right.
Absolutely.
Whatever decisions they make script-wise and everything is here or there, you don't get the script, you don't get the actors right. I was talking earlier about actors playing roles and not being able to see somebody else doing that said role.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that makes that movie stand out. Whoopi Goldberg's performance in that is you know, unhinged and mm-hmm. all these places and everything. That's what you like about her in that role.
Absolutely.
I don't think I could see anybody else playing that part. Same thing with Demi Moore. Same thing with Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking a lot here of the audience. And when you take these, like, why don't they remake bad movies? Why
to are make we them better. Yeah.
Yeah. Why are we constantly remaking classics?
Good point.
It makes mm-hmm. no sense. You're never going to please 100% of the people. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the diehard Ghost fans yeah. that are never going to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have people that watch it and maybe they like it. You're going to have younger generations mm-hmm. and never even seen the original.
Right.
All of this. But if you remake, like, why don't you remake Ishtar? Why don't you mm-hmm. remake some bad movies
yep.
and make them good?
Sure.
Yeah, yep. Do that. Yep. Like I don't understand that this necessity to rehash old things. If you want to rehash old things, if you really can't come up with anything new, then remake a bad movie mm-hmm. and make it good.
Yep, absolutely.
Ghost was already good.
It was so good.
It's yeah. fine. You don't have to remake it.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this. I'm fearful that any day now I'm going to hear, you know, in a headline in the news, they're going to remake this movie that means a lot to me. You know, mm-hmm. whatever said movie is, Good Morning Vietnam, Dead Poets Society, mm-hmm. the Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally fearful of this. And not because I think they're going to do a bad job or anything like that. It's because it's just one more. There's in such a bubble, some of these producers, and they don't realize that most audiences are so, they just want something different. They mm-hmm. don't want to see remakes anymore. They don't want to mm-hmm. see prequels and sequels and this mm-hmm. and that. Give them something different. And if you can't come up with something different, find a new job.
Yeah.
That
use that creativity that you're born with. Like
Before the Wicked was really big, and then, of course, years later, Hamilton would be really big, there was this push from Broadway, and the Broadway, I call them snobs, mm-hmm. In theater snobs, that were like, people just don't appreciate theater anymore. People don't want to come to plays anymore. These things. Oh, they just, these modern young, these kids and all this stuff, and blame, and pointing mm-hmm. the finger and pointing the finger. What are you doing to bring them to the, why is the onus on them? We are the entertainers.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah, it should mm-hmm. be both ways. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to lean one way or the other, I think the onus falls on us as entertainers. Mm-hmm. Bring that creative juices, get something going here and come up with something. Otherwise, go be an accountant. Go find another job mm-hmm. and let somebody else do it. Because mm-hmm. It's silly to blame an audience for not wanting to spend hard-earned money to go see Oklahoma for the 900th time.
Right.
Give them something new. Give them Wicked. Give them Hamilton. And wow, what happens? People actually come to see these things.
Yes.
I think that you need more of that.
Absolutely.
So I don't know about this. We'll see how it goes. I will say that Channing Tatum is one of those people that is very well liked in the industry mm-hmm. and by audiences. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps him out a lot. He mm-hmm. has that going for him, very similar to Patrick Swayze.
Yep.
Patrick Swayze, it gets kind of forgotten because he's been gone for so long. But he was one of those guys that producers could look at and say, well, I put him in a movie, it should do pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, he's a very likable mm-hmm. actor. Most audiences like him. So mm-hmm. I can put him in Tu Wong Fu with love and have him be a very different character. Mm-hmm. And audiences will still see it, you know?
Right, it's because of him.
I think Channing may have a little of that. This is interesting. James Cameron has put to rest a great debate for many people. Not me, but for many people. Could Jack and Rose have both fit on the door at the end of Titanic? I've never seen a second of Titanic, and even I know this debate. It's a debate that will never really be settled and never really end. But, of course, James Cameron has to put his hat in the ring here. during a recent panel discussion, James Cameron said, quote, it's technically not a door. It's a piece of wood paneling from the first class cabin. Cameron has always insisted that the reason Jack and Rose couldn't both survive had nothing to do with there not being enough room on the piece of wood paneling or the door, which, by the way, he has said in interviews before, he has called it a door. So
okay.
He says it couldn't have remained buoyant with both of them on it. They even did a forensic examination to settle the debate on an upcoming National Geographic special. It'll air on February 5th. He won't say how it turned out, but just, quote, came to some pretty hard and fast conclusions. I don't know. To each their own.
Yeah, to each their own.
I don't see the point. I don't see any
right?
of this.
It's settled. It's already.
Yeah. It does show how much people love this movie.
Yeah. And you've never watched it?
No, never seen a second of it.
You don't want to?
I have no interest.
Okay.
It's the only Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet movies that I've never seen. I've seen both those actors I like a lot, mm-hmm. and I've seen all of their work except mm-hmm. for that one movie.
Okay.
And it's honestly, to be honest, like when I was younger and it first came out and everything, I just never had the time or it slipped through the cracks. At this point, it's like, why? Like, why would I see it now? Granted, I tell people all the time to watch this classic movie. I just got done rambling about Cary Grant and to watch Catch a Thief and all these things and stuff. So I understand my hypocrisy here completely. I own that 100%. I know how the movie ends. I'm sorry. I don't see a point. I did want to mention this real quick as we wrap up our entertainment segment. And because it's one of my favorite human beings and I just want to talk about her. Sally Field is going to receive a SAG Lifetime Achievement Honor for her rich and layered career. Mm. Probably should have happened a long time ago, but thankful this is happening. So I'm a part of the Screen Actors Guild, and this is one of the things that we work on and vote on and everything. And there were a handful of names that were nominated this year for this. All great names, and I don't want to mention any of them because I legally can't, but all great names and people that were easily will be celebrated in the years to come.
Sure.
Their time will come. But to me, it was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw Sally Fields on the list, and I didn't mention her. I didn't mention her as an honorable mention mm-hmm. because I just figured we'd already done this.
Right.
Sally Field, we've not honored her already.
Right.
I mean, come on, people. We told her that we like her. She won the award. And, you like me. You really like mm-hmm. me. We told her we like her. Let's prove it to her. Let's show her. The Actors Guild announced Tuesday the field will receive the 58th recipient of the Tribute Award following recent honorees including Helen Mirren, Robert De Niro, Alan Alda, Morgan Freeman. Quote, she has an enduring career because she is authentic in her performance and always projects likability and humanity. She just connects. That's a part of why she has sustained her massive fandom and incredibly rich and layered career, said Fran Drescher at the SAG-AFTRA president. Sally is a massive star with a working actor's ethos. Just keep doing the work, being as good as you can. Every stage of an actor's life brings different opportunities, and you just need to keep working. And that's what Sally has done.
Mm-hmm.
She has gone from the won two Oscars for Norma Rae and Pieces in the Heart, three Emmys for Sybil, ER, Brothers and Sisters, received a National Medal of Arts in 2015, the Kennedy Center Honors in 2019. So recent credits, she was in Winning Time, where she played a bit of a darker role. She played Jerry Buss's mom. And I've never seen her do any of the things. I've watched every scene that woman's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen her do the acting that she did in Winning Time. At this age, she's
yes.
still doing groundbreaking work. She's still doing great work. Norma Rae is a must watch. Like, if you just watch 10 movies in your life, Norma mm-hmm. Rae's got to be one of them.
Okay.
If anything, just because of her performance, let alone the cultural impact it had for women and women's rights and mm-hmm. these things. The Flying Nun is just fun. It's just silly. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. she's done it all. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the movies she did with Burt Reynolds. And though how iconic those are, and
mm-hmm.
really, I would say those were my first movies of hers that I really like. Who's this?
Mm-hmm.
I also, as I'm realizing in my head now too, I think that Sally Field is the reason why I had the crush on did on Winona Ryder, and I did mm-hmm. on all the girls that look exactly like Sally Field as I've grown up.
Nice.
I'm like having an epiphany here right now. Like I didn't realize that. But I'm just a big fan, and I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone. When's the last time you heard somebody say, "Boy, that's Sally Field. I'm not sure about mm-hmm. her. I don't like her."
Never.
I don't think you've literally ever heard somebody say that.
Mm-hmm.
Actors that Sally beat for roles called her up and told her, "Hey, you deserve this."
Awesome.
Like,
yeah.
That's just crazy to me. That doesn't happen in this industry. Just a remarkable human being who has lived quite the life. And, you know, with all these things being said, I genuinely believe she has the most famous acceptance speech in history and probably always will. It's so real. It's so genuine and heartfelt. And it's interesting because all these years later, that speech, "You like me, you really like me," her genuineness in that moment is part of why we're honoring her right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she brings that into every role she's ever played.
Yeah.
That realness. Acting is reacting. I've heard Alan Alda say that. I've heard some others say that. But the greats, the ones that I hear, they talk about it. Acting is being human.
Mm-hmm.
Acting, Jodie Foster said this once, acting is being the most uncool person in the room. It is being just human, just real. And mm-hmm. how can I make this character real? How can I bring this person to life?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is putting little bits of yourself into that character to make it more believable. Whenever Sally has done that, whenever Miss Field has done that, I don't mm-hmm. know Sally, so whenever Miss Fields has done that, she has brought a little of herself into all these characters. And whether it is Smokey and the Bandit, Norma Rae, the Flying Nun,
mm-hmm.
you get that feeling. You feel that. And you like her. And you feel a little bit of her in those roles. It goes both ways.
Well, isn't that the best for acting, is to feel the character and their true self too?
I'm sure that she has taken many roles to get ahead in the game or to for a paycheck,
mm-hmm.
but it does seem like she's been so smart with the roles she has chosen in her career to I can put a little of myself in this person, or I can see a little of myself in this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I can really hit the mark on this one.
Yeah.
Great, great performer. Very big congratulations to her.
Absolutely.
Cannot wait for the SAG Awards this year. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun in the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Katrina and James taking you through the hour. We've got some fun stuff lined up for you. That Ain't Right story, some things there. Want to go to the AP News real quick right now, and apnews.com is where you can find this article. Go to Stockholm, where Sweden's center-right coalition government wants to cut red tape when it comes to dancing by abolishing a decade-old requirement for restaurants, nightclubs, and other venues to obtain permits before they let patrons shimmy and sweat. Way.
What?
You have to have a permit to dance in Sweden.
Really?
Yeah. If you're one of these establishments. The proposal made Thursday means that venues no longer would need a license to organize dances. Instead, as a general rule, they would only have to register with police, which can be done verbally and does not cost anything. Applying for a permit incurs a fee of at least $67 American, just, you know, brought to American dollars. As it is, now owners can lose their liquor license and business license if police officers come by and find out that the venue is, they have dancing going on. Like, a song comes on the jukebox and somebody goes out in the middle and, you know, starts dancing or something like that. You can't have it. You can get a fine.
Okay, who ruined it in Sweden for the dancing? Like, right? when and how did this happen?
Is this where they got the idea for Footloose? Is this what?
Right? I mean, I don't know. When there's a song that's on, there's a beat and it goes through your body. It's hard to not want to dance.
I mean, dancing is, I would say it's, if not our oldest, one of our second, third oldest form of expression, form of art.
Absolutely.
Cave people were dancing. Yeah. Like, you know, tribes to this day dance.
Yes.
You know, it's such a big thing. I don't know.
And it's interesting. So if somebody dances and didn't know you can't dance in this establishment and a police officer or someone happens to be there, they could get fined. Wow.
I think you bring up the major point here. What happened to make them do? You don't just come up with this law just willy-nilly and everything.
Right?
You know, by the way, I don't know when the last time somebody said willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly is great.
We're bringing it back.
Bringing it back. It's a smart-sounding word. Remember we're learning this.
Yes, yes. What happened in Sweden to make it like, no more dancing? Like, I don't know. Hey, that's a great question.
Well, I hope that this all passes and they don't have to have this strict rule.
Yeah. Yeah. Swedish media outlets welcomed the move to abolish the dance permits, which have been called outdated and moralistic. The government proposed having the change take effect on July 1st, although it requires preliminary approval. So this is actually not even a said thing. Like, this isn't a given. This is going to happen.
Right.
That's kind of crazy. Sweden is known for a lot of things as far as, like, especially their healthcare and a
yes.
lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, because you get this from Americans all the time, oh, I'm going to move. Mm-hmm. I'll move to this place. I'll move to that place mm-hmm. or whatever. And I think because of the healthcare situation and a lot of that in Sweden, I've heard people say that about Sweden. But I'm a dancer. Mm-hmm. I'd be locked up the moment I get
gosh.
Off the plane in Sweden, probably.
Well, not maybe you, but the establishment.
Yes, the establishment, yes.
So people be like, don't let James in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that guy's going to get us in trouble. And I'm sitting in an airplane for the rest
right?
of the day. That's that ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, though. I think that, though, it's easy to poke holes at. But at the same time, one of our favorite segments Carl and I used to do was silly laws that are outdated.
Yes, I remember that.
Going through and like that, I'll never forget the one in Arizona. It was a law like up until the late 90s that you couldn't ride a horseback. You couldn't ride horseback backwards while fishing. Something like that, like these crazy things. So
wild.
I mean, we got plenty of them here, plenty of these kind of laws in
we
our states
do.
Too.
It's
I suppose.
True.
But that one, that is interesting. I don't know about that one. Don't know about the next couple that we got coming up because we got some petty revenge stories coming up.
Okay.
We have a couple of those we'll get to, and we have another some great stories of the day to wrap up on. We're going to talk about some blood drives going on in this area and some other things. All that coming up for you right here on the morning show after Melissa's news at WFHR. Oh, welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. James and Katrina here with you.
Don't get too crazy if you're in Sweden dancing.
Yeah. I just love this song. It's a good song. I don't know if it holds up, but I still love it. We are going to have some fun right now. We got some good stories coming up for you a little bit later. But before we can get to those, we kind of have to get to these other ones. Now, Katrina, when I was a kid, my grandfather, it was very important to him that I was a good reader, that I was well-educated in literature and all this.
Sure.
So I'm like 8, 9 years old, and he's giving me these big, like, Uncle Tom's Cabin books and mm-hmm. stuff. And one of the books that he gave me was The Count of Monte Cristo. And
oh, yeah.
It's a revenge tale. Mm-hmm. It's maybe the greatest revenge tale of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's got me at a young age, like, oh, this is really interesting. And so to this day, story, books, movies that have to do with revenge interest me, and I find them cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the parallel I find, the difference I find between reality and fantasy, where those are really cool in fantasy and stories and all this. In real life, revenge is a winless game.
Mm-hmm.
Both people lose. Nobody has ever won in the revenge game. It just doesn't work really well in real life. But in stories and in book telling and everything, it's great. It's like a heist movie. Like, I love watching a heist movie. I have no interest in actually doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know the folly. I know how that story ends.
Yeah.
Movies, TV shows, they can be fun. Sometimes real life interprets art, though. And you have these petty revenge stories. And this is kind of an interesting one here. And it's the first one. A man was driving home last Friday when he noticed that a strange car was parked in his driveway. No one was there. There was a large house party in his neighborhood, and there was no open street parking in sight. The driveway was only wide enough for one car with a barrier on either side. It was his driveway, so he parked behind the car. A few hours later, a woman showed up at his door and asked if he could move his car so she could get out. He refused, saying he'd been drinking at home and wouldn't be able to move his car that night. She got mad, called the cops. They showed up, but they couldn't do anything because it was private property.
Right.
The man told the woman it was a long weekend and that he wouldn't be able to, wouldn't be leaving for work until Tuesday, so she could pick up her car then.
Oh.
Ah, that's, I think that,
that's gutsy.
That is, and it seems to be taking it a little farther than mm-hmm. you need to. Now, she probably should not have parked in that spot.
Right.
That's his spot and all that.
That's his property. And, yeah.
Definitely shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, to me, revenge is when something, like, really is called upon. Like, that's when you pull the revenge card out. This is inconvenient. It's messy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not the end of the world.
The lesson, I think, was just, like, maybe, oh, can't move it till tomorrow, right? That's a lesson
there
right there.
Yeah.
Done. But the, like, oh, sorry, you're going to have to wait a whole, like, 3 or 4 days. Like,
yeah. Now, did he do that because she took it to another level by calling the police?
Maybe.
Right? I'm not saying that that makes it okay for him mm-hmm. to counter, but I don't know. And I don't know. I don't think she should have called the police. I don't think that you've got to have at least some brain power to realize that they can't do anything, mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge her for having the instinct, the thought to, but at the same time, our officers are constantly asked to on-site do things that they have nothing to do with.
Right.
They're not needed for this situation.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other situations they are needed for. This, they can't do anything. Mm-hmm. They why bring them into this scenario? It's not going to help. It's not going to solve anything. And you're just wasting their time, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
That gets a little like frustrating to me that mm-hmm. we had this certain areas of society seem this like quickly, instantly, call the police, call 911. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, okay, well, did they break a law?
Right.
Like, I mean, is this something that really the police need? Because your kid won't go to bed on time doesn't mean you call, you know, Sheriff Becker.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, do not do that. Like, that to me is the biggest that ain't right part of this story. I think that others are going to find other things different or stand out more and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this guy was being a knucklehead. Maybe she was being a knucklehead. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think that the bigger one that stands out to me is that. Not cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there is another one that we got to touch on here too. A woman shared a story on Facebook claiming that she was in a long line at McDonald's drive-thru and the quote young lady behind her was honking because she thought she was taking too long to place her order. So she decided she'd get revenge. When the woman pulled up at the first window, she paid for both of their orders. When the lady behind her found out, she waved and mouthed thank you. But when the woman pulled up to the second window, she showed both of the receipts and took the impatient lady's food too, forcing her to go back through the line again. So it's a very salty spin on pay it forward. The post went viral, but the woman later admitted that it's just a story that had been going around and that she didn't actually do it. She said she just shared that it to give people a laugh. So
interesting covering her steps there.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunate because it actually the pay it forward, which is a nice thing. It's a great thing when people do that. And now it almost took it out of context of like, oh, well, actually, I'm doing it in a very salty way. And I don't know how I would have handled that one.
I think you handle it. You kill them with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best, one of the best, you know. One of the oldest things I have dealt with is anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. I literally was 6-7 years old getting on the bus and dealing with that.
Mm.
And it's been that way my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
As I've gotten older, I've realized one of the greatest counters to it is sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
You get these Nazis, these KKKs, these skinhead guys, these people, and they're so passionate. They believe so much in what they're saying and everything. And then when you throw silliness at them, when you throw comedy at them, they have no idea how to handle that.
Yep.
It's fun. Like, because it doesn't. Unfortunately, I've been really, really like burnt from this, and it takes a lot to hurt my feelings or affect me anymore. So to me, when they're spitting that stuff at me and telling me, you know, blah blah blah, and all these things that make no sense or whatever, I love throwing sarcasm at them. It's very fun to me. To me, that's the way to handle this situation. As she's honking and going all this, maybe just waving out, yep, I know, hi.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hi, mm-hmm. I see you too. Hello. Mm-hmm. Do we know each other?
Yeah.
Do I know, what's your name? We should exchange numbers. Like, just, you know, completely ignore what she is saying, like her anger and all that.
Yes.
Push back on it and like you don't even see the anger.
Mm-hmm.
You just see this person waving at you, basically. Yep.
That buffers it for the person in that moment too. Mm-hmm.
I think the greatest revenge is living.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hear this a lot of times when it comes to people who you get in a bad, somebody hurts somebody, they cheat on somebody and all that. And what's the greatest revenge and all that? Obviously, the greatest revenge is living your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because while I don't put a ton of stock in things that I can't scientifically say this is that or whatever, mm-hmm. I do genuinely believe in karma. I do believe that what you put into the universe, you get back.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the ultimate revenge, if you're this lady and you got that girl honking like crazy behind you, I'm taking a breath. I'm waving at her and mm-hmm. all that stuff back, and I'm realizing karma got this.
Yep.
I don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have blood on my hands or anything like that. Karma going to take care of this, because that lady, that you're not the only person she's done this to.
Oh, right.
She's going to do that to somebody, and one day it's going to be a police officer, or it's going to be somebody that, you know, it'll come back around.
Mm-hmm.
It always does. Maybe it doesn't happen right away. Maybe it takes years. Maybe it takes decades, but karma always comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you don't got to do anything. Just let go. You know what? Hey, karma, you go ahead and take care of this one. Text karma. Let them know, hey, this is going on, and, you know, go ahead and...
I love that. What if you have a person on your phone that was called karma? Just like a fake person, but just like, I need this. It helps you like calm your brain, like a fake number, or maybe it recircles it back to you and just be like, all right, you got it, karma.
Like, oh, I really like that. Oh, I like that. That's great.
A heated moment.
Have a designated karma friend that you can text like
there
that.
There you go.
Take a break here. Come back. Have one more That Ain't Right story. Got some good stories of the day and plenty more fun to have here on The Morning Show at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Katrina and James here with you. It is 9:49, and we're going to take you right to the top of 10. At 10 o'clock, we'll welcome in Morning Magazine for the day. We got Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer in with us today.
Wonderful.
Always good catching up with Shane. Wisconsin Rapids Community Media will be in to record that as well, so encourage you to look on their YouTube page and follow along with all the great work that they do there. And after that, we are going to be joined by Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center.
Great.
Get an update about the Cultural Center, talk to Steph a little bit. Mm-hmm. Always enjoy talking with Stephanie. It's always a great conversation. We're got all that coming up for you and plenty more, of course, in this block here that we're going to get into. First, I got to touch on this one right here. The police department in Michigan is dealing with criminal activity inside the station. The call is coming from inside the house. And the perp is allegedly one of their own. Yeah, it's a shame when this kind of stuff happens and everything. A few days ago, the Wayandotte Police Department accused Officer Ice of stealing from another cop, Officer Barwig. Ice stole Barwig's lunch, and it's probably worth mentioning Officer Ice is a police dog.
He's a police dog. He stole his sandwich. That's the drama.
It's a naughty dog. In a playful post on social media, the department said, "Stealing is not only a crime, but it's morally wrong too. As a police officer, you're required to take an oath, including a promise to protect persons' property." According to the report, Barwig was called out of the break room, leaving his half-eaten lunch on the table. When he returned, it was gone. And he witnessed Ice licking his chops. And this isn't the first time he's been accused. It's unclear what kind of disciplinary action Ice might be facing, but the department said that they're considering Facebook followers' options on how to proceed with the investigation.
That's great.
So far, a lot of people are pointing out that the evidence sounds circumstantial.
Yes, very much so.
I all of our good officers out there, I back, I support certainly, full heartedly. Mm-hmm. I gotta say though, I don't know if this officer had dogs at home or not, or has ever been around dogs. But if you have been, you know you don't leave a sandwich on the table.
You don't, or if you put it to like the center where they can't reach it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do they call this? Entrapment. Was this entrapment? Yes. Well, I don't know. Was this entrapment? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm the public defender defending ICE, this is one of the first things I'm touching on. This
one. Yeah, exactly. And like, did anyone check to see if he had any crumbs on his whiskey? Whiskers or anything? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Maybe it's because he's a dog and the assumption is, well, the sandwich gone, the dog must have eaten it.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe another officer may have eaten it.
They might have been hungry, forgot their lunch.
I've done this before. I thought I ate all the fries on my, or I thought there were fries left on my plate, but I got hungry and I vacuumed and I ate them all. And there's nobody else in the house, so it hasn't been me.
Yeah.
Maybe that happened. The officer ate the sandwich and didn't remember.
I don't know.
I think that ICE deserves some defense here, and I love that they do this. Again, a big, big shout out to this Michigan Police Department. I don't think anybody does social media better than police departments.
Yeah.
I really don't. I genuinely mean that. Like
make it fun. They make it like their job, everyday life, but with a fun twist on it. And this was great.
You think about it. McDonald's, Nike, Amazon spend literally millions every year on advertising, on social media posts, on marketing executives and all these things. These police departments, they got none of that. Mm-mm. And they're killing it. They're doing such a better job than anybody else ever has in social media. if they retire, a lot of these guys should go into like marketing or something like that. Just start working with that. That's a fun story. I love the other part of this too is it isn't a job requirement that they do these things. They didn't have to share this story. They share the story. And how many, not only are we talking about it, but how many people in the greater Michigan area are talking about this story? And maybe a kid hears that story. Mm-hmm. And instead of hearing a negative story or something like that, they feel a little more comfortable going to a police officer. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how you feel as an adult, about the police and all these things. And I understand it's a gray area. Mm-hmm. And I've said on the air to Sheriff Becker face-to-face, almost every interview we've ever had, I don't like bad cops. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that.
Yeah.
That there are bad police officers. Because guess what? There are bad people in every single profession. There are bad radio announcers. Mm-hmm. There are bad clerks. There are bad everything.
Bad health food store owners. I mean, everywhere.
It exists. They're all over the place. You can't have the good without the bad. You can't have the bad without the good and stuff. So with that being said, I think that it's such a extra step. It's such going above and beyond doing these things, because regardless of how any of us adults feel, I don't think anybody doesn't want a kid to be able to go to a police officer if they are in need.
Yeah, and it's bringing a place of connection, which is good. It's bringing in that person as a human, but also as a profession. And like you said, you know, making them feel more connected and safe to reach out to just by having that little bit of silliness within that day.
They are silly stories. Mm-hmm. They are, fun and not necessarily game changers or groundbreaking, but every one of these stories is a good story, and mm-hmm. they add to that bridge of the community and the police departments being more and more in tune.
Mm-hmm.
It really is bigger than we realize, I think, mm-hmm. to the youth, to young people seeing these things. When an officer takes time out of his day to go shoot some hoops with some kids during his beat,
yeah.
that kind of thing, like that stuff adds up. It matters.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of stories really matter. And the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm thinking ICE is not in the wrong here. Mm. But I think ICE the dog here. I think just being a dog.
I mean, have they fed him recently?
Huh? It is one of the sillier things to me when we as humans look at an animal and stop barking. It's a dog. It's what they do.
Right.
You realize they don't understand English, right? They don't know what you're saying. They're not going to stop barking. They're a dog. Time for us to get some good stories of the day, and I wanted to lead this off with something that is currently going on. Blood drives are being held in the former East Junior High School music room at 311 Lincoln Street right here in Wisconsin Rapids. This started up yesterday. It is from 10 to 3, and then it'll be again on Monday, January 23rd from 2 to 7. The Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin is the primary supplier of blood to Aspirus Riverview Hospitals in Wisconsin Rapids. While this is a great these blood drives we have are great, you can donate blood almost any time,
mm-hmm.
and it's greatly needed right now. Well before the pandemic, we were already hurting. That really escalated things, and we've never really caught up on the supply.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were able to donate, we greatly appreciate you. In order to be a superhero, you don't have to have a tragic backstory. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wear tights.
Nope.
You know how hard it is to come up with an original catchphrase nowadays? They've all been used.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to just do this. Takes a lot less time.
Just donate some blood.
You can be a superhero just by donating some blood. Call the Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin's toll-free number to find out more, 866-566-5900. It's 866-566-5900. And touching on a couple of others here, an 11-year-old in California named Nathan Braxton is in the news after his mom posted footage of him singing along to Naughty from the Matilda the musical. And I mean, he really went for it. Now Delta has stepped up and they're flying him to New York so he can see his first musical on Broadway.
Oh, cool.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of celebrities responding to this, including Leslie Odom Jr., who the famous from Hamilton and everything,
mm-hmm.
like literally reaching out to the kid to tell him, "Hey, keep doing this. You've got some awesome. You got some energy here and everything."
Yeah,
the kid's voice is going to change,
of course,
certainly.
Yep.
But the energy, the wanting to put himself out there and stuff, that stuff that's going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of kids, a study found helping animals comes naturally to them. If a dog wants something out of reach, even toddlers will help. They tested it with 100 kids under 4. If they saw a dog trying to get a toy or treat, they grabbed it for them 50% of the time. Kids with dogs at home were even more likely to help.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had the childhood I did and all those things, I wouldn't change anything. I am what I am because of it. But if there's one thing that I could add to the mix, it would have been growing up with animals.
I'm so with you right there.
I would have loved that. I would love to have a dog. I see my nephews. I see my mm-hmm. brother got to do that a little bit, or those things. I see my kids, not necessarily with dogs, but growing up with animals.
Yep.
And how much fuller their lives mm-hmm. seem. And how great it is. Plus, one of the things that I hear a concern in parents, I hear a concern from adults, empathy in children and making sure that there is more, the younger generations, that they are empathetic. We worry about these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is empathy full fold.
Yeah,
this
right
is,
there.
It's showing you right there. They're scientifically showing you empathy. It's hard mm-hmm. to put empathy into science to show you data of empathy. Here it is.
Yeah.
They're not doing this for any other reason than empathetically caring about this creature. That's mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really neat.
A dad in the UK wanted to donate a kidney to his 19-year-old daughter last April, but wasn't a match. Luckily, she got one from a different donor, and she's doing great now. But once he realized what a big deal it was, he decided to donate a kidney anyway to a complete stranger. The surgery was last month, and he doesn't know who got it. He just knows they're doing well. He says it feels like he gave them a really great Christmas gift.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. And a 97-year-old veteran near San Diego is finally being awarded the Navy Cross. It's the second highest award of valor you can get after the Medal of Honor. He was a pilot in Korea and was in a crazy dogfight in 1952. Hmm. He took out 7 enemy planes on his own and shot down 4 of them. Then when he landed, there were 263 bullets in his plane.
Wow.
But he wasn't hurt. Most of the details were classified, so that's why he never got a medal until now. He went on to serve another 23 years and did over 100 flight missions in Vietnam. The medal ceremony is this Friday.
Wow.
That's a hero.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a bona fide hero right there.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that man and his service. And appreciate you, Katrina. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Our final good story of the day is our friends over at Family Natural Foods. Be sure to go visit them. Their doors are open right now. And as soon as Katrina leaves here, you'll be able to see her over there, possibly.
Yeah. Come say hi.
Yeah, come say hi to the gang over at Family Natural Foods. They're usually open, doors open at 9, right?
Yep, 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Visit them at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can always give them a call at 423-3120. Be sure to follow them on social media, especially Instagram. I love your guys' stories and all. They do such a great job on those. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, Katrina.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.